Hello, 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 and welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. You are listening to The Art Beat by The Arts Collective, formerly known as Arts Report, now new and improved. And before we go any further, I'm going to take a second to acknowledge where we are today. We are recording from UBC campus, which is Point Grey, Vancouver, which is the traditional ancestral unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam First Nations people. And UBC obviously is very complicit with the ongoing genocide of Indigenous people in Canada, and we need to center this first and foremost when we do what we do here at CITR. So without any further ado, my name is Serena. I am your host for today, and I'm going to take a second here for everyone to go around and introduce themselves real quick, starting with you here.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Alicia.
Maya.
Hello, I'm Django.
I'm Ruth.
I'm Zoe.
I'm Rena.
I'm John.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being here today, as always. Lovely, lovely team. We're going to be talking about VIF today, and we're wrapping up on that. And then next week, we're going to be getting into some silly Halloween stuff, so no spoilers there, but stay freaking tuned. But before that, before we get into the bulk of our discussion, I think we have someone who wants to just, like, share some life advice.
Yeah, so I got a phone call from my doctor today, and they told me I need to live stress-free. So I decided that from now on, I'm going to have no stress in my life whatsoever. And that started today. I had a beer at 4 p.m. I had...
Do you have, like, early onset heart disease or something? Like,
no.
Do you have, like, high cholesterol?
Whoa. It was, like, a weird... Yeah. Guys, I think I'm... Someone's.
It's
over. I can't get stressed at all, which for someone who is very anxious is going to be a difficult thing. So I'm taking it a day at a time, you know. But I was gonna like ask for advice if anybody listening had advice.
If anyone wants to call in the next few minutes here.
Yeah, or if they wanted to DM me on Instagram, like you could.
At Barscene
from Star Wars. Oh. Barscene from Star Wars on Instagram.
Didn't even need the prompt. He was ready
to drop it. Because I'm trying to be stress-free. I have a feeling drinking a beer at 4 p.m. is not going to be a long-term solution, but it's definitely a short-term one.
It can be a daily solution.
Mm. I think you just got to start earlier. I think it's the 4 p.m. that's the issue. Because like, that's when you're starting to get tired. I think like probably like 10, 11 a.m. is going to serve you better
honestly,
in the long run.
It could.
Yeah,
but so that I just wanted to let everyone know where I've been at, and this is a life update from today. So, I'm moving forward. No more stress in my life, and I asked everyone treats their life the same. I think that way you won't have to have a conversation with your doctor about being stressed. So
And I think a personal goal of mine for 2026 is to honestly drink alone more often. So hopefully we can all implement that and continue this stress-free journey.
I think the more we drink, the less Django's doctor is going to call all of us up and like tell us that we're stressed out. So we're going to have to organize that in the future.
No, we're transferring the stress onto the doctor by drinking more.
That's true.
Well, an apple a day keeps the doctor away also.
T-Bird lager a day. Hello.
Yeah.
The ones that know.
Do you think Big Apple made that saying?
Like New York City?
The city that never sleeps.
The Big Apple. Ava.
New York.
I think you got something you want to talk about real quick. We're going to get into our VIF stuff here.
Yeah, I'm happy to start us off today. So opening weekend of VIF, I had the incredible pleasure of going and seeing, I'm going to have to abbreviate the title here for radio, F-Toys, which was directed by Annapurna Sriram, who is also the lead actress in the movie. And it was produced by Trashtown Pictures. So in the film, AP learns that she has a curse placed upon her and that she needs to raise $1,000 to have a sacrificial lamb ceremony to lift the curse. So she explores Trashtown, USA, on her little scooter to raise the money. She does so alongside her love interest, Danny, whose face is just kind of seemingly always bloodied and banged up somehow, just the entire film. But it had a really great cast, including Sadie Scott, who plays that love interest Danny. It also had Damien Young, who you might know from the movie The Amateur or even the TV show Ozark. We also had Brandon Flynn from 13 Reasons Why. You know, interesting casting choices. And we also had the rapper Big Frida, who you might know from her collaborations with Beyonce, Kesha, Lady Gaga, and most importantly, Charlie XCX. And another fun fact about this film was that it was shot on 16mm film. But yeah, so after the film, there was a really lovely Q&A where we had a VIF moderator asking the director some questions, as well as some questions from the audience. So I think that we're just going to jump right into that so you can hear a little bit about it straight from the director herself, and then we'll get into some discussion afterwards.
Thanks, Ava. Do you want to reintroduce the director's name one last time before we play the audio?
Yes, of course. It's directed by Annapurna Sriram. And here's her talking.
I thought this was like a great indie film. I was like, 20 locations, 26 actors, no big deal. And I learned the hard way that that's actually really difficult when it comes to indie filmmaking. You know, having so many locations, so many actors, shooting during a pandemic, and right after Hurricane Ida had just hit Louisiana. You know, this movie has taken me so long, like almost a decade of my life. It's weird because I think, you know, I really had to turn the film into a religious practice. Mm-hmm. You know, the movie was like, this is my Bible, I'm gonna proselytize this, I'm gonna have faith in this thing. I've never had faith in my life. Having a really amazing team around me, my producer was, you know, we had this phrase of like finding your spiritual warriors and bringing them on to the mission. Yeah, so it took us like, from when I wrote it in 2017, we shot it in 2022, and we shot over the course of a year because of the there was a hurricane in Louisiana. And there was Mardi Gras, and there was COVID, and there was all kinds of things. But that was the journey. We were definitely very cursed making this movie. And I was like, okay, the themes are meta. It's all happening, you know. But I think that, yeah, so that's what the journey was like from start to finish.
So many of the scenes in the film are the scene set pieces. Like, I feel like they could have taken many different tonal paths as well. And wondering about just when it came to being on set in the day.
Yeah.
Like, did you kind of feel like that's where it was really valuable for yourself to be in front of the camera as well, almost like as a conductor for this chaos?
Yeah, well, so I wasn't planning to direct this movie. I was a struggling actor living in New York. I was in this era where a lot of the roles that were available for me were like girl in headscarf, doctor, brown girl. You know, it was a very limiting, just a lot of limitations. And so I kind of wrote this feeling really frustrated with the opportunities that were available to me. And like, honestly, just like wanting to be like a slut, like wanting to be like a sex pot, and like wanting representation for kind of my younger self, for other South Asian people, for brown girls. I was like, we need to have a cult movie where there's just like a hot brown girl. That was one of like my bigger intentions, was as an actor feeling this catch 22 of, if you're not famous, you can't get a job if you're not, you know, this sort of cycle, and feeling like, okay, I have to create my own work. So I wrote this kind of as like, I just wanna play like a feminine Bridget Bardot cult girl, cult classic character that people will dress up for Halloween. And then when I met my producer, he was like, I think you should direct this movie. And I was like, I've never written an essay, like, I didn't go to film school. And so we spent a long time talking through the movie. We test shot the whole film on a camcorder. I built so many different, you know, lookbooks of the color palette, of the look of the film. And so then I was like, maybe I shouldn't act in this and I should just direct it, but we couldn't afford an actor, so it was like, never mind, like, we have to do it all. And that's kind of what, you know, what happens with indie film is you're like, I have to wear all these hats, and it's not even because I want to, it's like, I literally can't afford to pay someone. So it was always very important to me that this film had meaningful representation, not only for myself, you know, also for Sadie, who's in this film. Sadie plays the Danny, the cowboy hat lover, heartthrob, hangman character. And I just felt like it's, you know, I didn't grow up where I had a lot of representation for myself, and I wanted there to be this movie to exist for teenagers, for young people to have, as, you know, being able to see themselves, being able to see a non-heteronormative relationship reflected back to them without needing to explain itself.
And before we turn it over to the audience for questions, so get ready. Yeah, I'm wondering, like, in that casting process, were you looking for the character you had in mind, or were you looking for who could bring character to maybe, like, some sketches of folks you had in the script?
I think it's a little bit of both. I was really diehard. Like, there are so many incredible actors out there who are like me, who have never had that opportunity to just be on set and play an amazing, fun character where they don't have to explain their identity. So we were very, you know, we were like, let's just look at all the actors and let anyone audition who wants to audition. So we had a lot of theater actors. Sometimes I think of it as temperament. So Sadie, for example, that role I opened up to basically non-cis male actors, women, non-binary, whoever wanted to audition for this character. But I was really just looking for a temperament, like a sort of essence of the soul, like someone who captures the feeling of this person. And Sadie just had that in them innately, this like innocence meets like brooding heartthrob. Some of the actors are just incredible. The couple, the psychics, you know, there's so many, like Damien Young, who plays Robert, Francois, like there's so many actors who just bring so much humanity. I was like, I just want to create this sandbox, and I want you to just be able to come and play and do your thing and flex your muscle, and I'm just gonna film it. Like, we really were lucky that our producers were on board for casting the best actor for the role and not looking to just shoehorn a celebrity into the part.
I know we have some hands here, but before we go there, you've already changed, or you've already made history.
One less asterisk at a time. When we premiered this film, we were like, can we do it without the asterisk? Is that like a possibility? And we premiered it South by Southwest. I was looking at the lineup and there were all these bands with the title with no asterisk. And so we wrote to South by and we're like, hey, when you release the program, are we able to be no asterisk? And they were like, oh, we're gonna CC you in with our legal and like the, you know, all the people. And we're like, you know, they came back and they were like, yeah, we can do this with no asterisk. And like, that's huge. I mean, this was like the first film at a major film festival to be presented without an asterisk in the title. That's a big step of like pushing the needle, I think, in the face of like a country that's now becoming obsessed with censorship. So that was really, and that was kind of a cool test of like, just in the way that they like to test us, like how can we test America with like pushing something forward.
Beltane.
I was curious about the significance of the curse being represented by cleaners throughout the movie and like what it meant at the end when they were just like taking a break.
I think of the cleaners as like more representational of class and like caste system, I would say. Mm. Like, I wanted there to be a visual sort of reminder to people that my character is not, like, she has privilege within the world, and she's able to have class drag, where she's able to like hang with wealthier people, or, you know, she has this ability to sort of move between classes. And the cleaning people to me were more representational of like invisible labor, menial labor, thankless labor, sort of faceless labor, and that there is this like sort of constant reminder of the like futility of labor and just sort of the exploitation of labor in general, which is
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smokey every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? I think I'm hungry. I think we should get ourselves something nice for our beach day.
Oh, yeah?
Oh my god, I know the perfect place. Cockney King's Fish and Chips is literally just around the corner. We should go there. It is the best fish and chips in Vancouver.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Let's go right now.
Cockney King's Fish and Chips, Kitsilano. On Cornwall Avenue, between Cypress and Walnut. It's the best fish and chips in town. But don't take our word for it. Try it yourself. If Kitsilano isn't your neighborhood, check out Cockney King's in Burnaby or New Westminster.
All right, and welcome back. Before our commercial break there, you were hearing from Anna Perina Sriram, who was the director and lead actress on F-Toys. And I think now we're throwing it over to Zoe. I think you got someone to jump in with.
I do have someone to jump in with. Hi, everyone. I'm Zoe. This past weekend at VIFF, I had the absolute delight of seeing Assembly. And actually, on my way to the theater, I got like a fun little surprise because I ran into a little... Ruth.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we saw the movie. It was really good. The movie was kind of a documentary about a performance that had happened in New York in 2022, but it was more than a performance. It was like this interdisciplinary mash of things. So the performance and the entire thing, and also the movie, was produced by Rashad Newsom. And then another producer on the movie was Johnny Simmons. So the exhibit that was in New York was a three-part interactive situation. One part was like an object-based thing where he brought in like his actual work. The second part was like workshops. And then the third part was actual performances, and all of these were centered around like blackness, which was really awesome for me, like as a black person to see. Like, it was just a big celebration. They did a pretty big centering on voguing. One of the things that he did for the performances was reaching out to people from around the world who vogued and then mixed that dance with other dances from their cultures, which I thought was really cool. One of the performers that really stuck out to me was from Brazil. And I, unfortunately, the name of the dance is escaping me right now, but it's this dance that was, it was created in prison as a way to communicate, but also to fight. It's kind of complicated, but it's really interesting. And so he talked about the importance of, or just the interesting, I guess, mix of having two dances in resistance come together, made in resistance come together to make like this other dance. It has a lot of kicks and flips. It's really good. But yeah, so we in the documentary saw the entire progression from the casting of the people who would be in the performance, the actual making of like the set, the history behind the location of it, the venue. It's a really incredible movie that has a lot of layers, so I definitely recommend seeing it because, like, it would be impossible to do it justice by just speaking about it, but it was really, really incredible. Ruth, if you got anything to add?
Yeah, kind of. Zoe really, really killed it with that one. I'm very, very lucky, and I got to see, well, I got a free code to basically anything at VIFF through my program, through my awesome prof, who was like, hey, I have a buddy who is in charge of VIFF, and she was able to get us these codes, and so we were able to see whatever we wanted. So I was there for the last 2 days, and I saw a bunch of fun things, including Assembly, and I kind of chose it because the poster was this just, like, artificial intelligence kind of being that was very genderless and just like was just there, and it was doing this like really fierce pose, and I was like, yeah, I'll add that to my shopping cart. So I didn't really know anything about it, and then after I got that ticket, I was looking at the names, and I was like, I know this person named Rashad, I've seen his name before. And then I was like, oh my god, this is about Assembly, like this performance art piece that I had heard about like for quite a while now. So yeah, it was so cool. And I don't know, this is like kind of what I was saying, it's really cool seeing like black art here in Vancouver, even though it's not based in Vancouver, but like watching it at a theater here, it was really inspiring and really beautiful. And yeah,
Yeah, and Assembly is also our CITR-sponsored film this year. So I don't know if you guys knew that, but that was actually last year we had, the name of it is, I can't think of it right now, but it was really cool. Me and Django got to go, and it was about how, it's actually so incredible and complicated, but it's like how jazz music was part of the CIA's kind of evil plot against like people in the Congo, and it was like this whole thing. It was like pieced together documentary, like never before seen footage, and it was about music. Anyways, it was really cool, and I find that, not the like shameless CITR like glazing, but I think it's so fun that we always get to do like a sponsored VIF film, and it's always something about like performance and music and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's cool to see how it like shifts focus a little bit.
Oh yeah, 100%. But yeah, it was overall just really, really incredible. Super duper recommend seeing it. I think some of the things that they highlight in the movie are also very applicable to today, because for the actual performance and just overall exhibition, they included AI, which was also in 2022 was when they did this. But the way that they did it was Rashad actually made the AI and then gave it what he described would be like a radical library card. So like Bell Hooks, for example, was someone who he'd mentioned. And then people could come and speak to it. And then like they could do workshops where they would be speaking to each other and then the AI would chime in, or they could go up and actually talk to the AI and they'd respond with, I don't know. I appreciated the responses that it gave, but I think it also just opens room for more discussion on like how we're using AI, who's creating AI, what it could be used for. Because I think, at least from what I saw in the movie, I do think it was used in a very beautiful way. I think the way that he still like included like human interaction was really interesting, but it got me thinking. So, yeah.
Totally. Well, thank you so much for sharing. We are going to have a caller here in a second, but until then, I'm going to play a quick little ad, and then we are going to get back to our VIF discussion. So, dear precious listeners, stick around.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show, but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Hello, hello, hello. Do we have a caller? Hello? Uh-oh. Line's been dropped. Okay, until then.
Please consult your directory and call
more
again.
Second.
Or...
Looking for fresh, local, organic produce right here in Vancouver? Come to the UBC Farm Farmers Markets, happening Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays from June to November. Discover organic fruits, veggies, flowers, and herbs grown in the heart of UBC's campus, alongside baked goods, beverages, and artisan goods from local vendors. Enjoy the multi-vendor experience on Saturdays or stop by for some midweek groceries on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Visit ubcfarm.ubc.ca for times and details.
All right. Hello, hello. Do we have a caller here?
Hello. Is this Arby?
Hi. Welcome. Hi, Mickey. How's it going?
Good. I'm coming to you from Tap and Barrel at the waterfront.
Yes. Django was just talking about how day drinking is like therapeutic and good for your health.
I love day drinking. Unfortunately, I
sorry, could you say that again real quick?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to tap into that today, but like, there's always another chance tomorrow.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, a little birdie told me you have some things you want to talk about with Viv.
Yes, birdie indeed. So I went and saw The Condor Daughter at Viv at the Granville Island main stage, art stage. So I think, honestly, first, let me just read the little, like, blurb that's on the website, because that's, like, what I had going into it. So, high in the misty Andes, Clara is being raised by her adoptive mother, a Quechua midwife, who teaches her to sing the sacred songs passed down through generations. Melody said to ease pain and bring life safely into the world. But Clara's voice yearns for more than tradition. Her heart is pulled toward the city, where she dreams of becoming a folk music star. In The Condor Daughter, Bolivian filmmaker Alvaro Olmos Torrico crafts a tender portrait of adolescence, ambition, and cultural inheritance. With breathtaking cinematography by Nicolas Wong Diaz, the film glides between open mountain pastures and bustling urban chaos. So I guess my favorite parts were, like, the cinematography, per se. Like, it was incredibly beautiful. Like, the Andes, the bright clouds, like, I don't know, just, like, the pastures, the wildflowers and such. I also really appreciated, like, the musical element. There was, like, awesome songs and, like, the traditional songs that are kind of central to the plot that the main girl, Clara, sings. Sorry, can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, you're good, girl.
Okay, it's just, like, we got a seaplane taken off. Okay. But yeah, the music was really awesome. It was like, it almost seemed like her traditional songs were kind of like humming, like kind of soothing type of thing. And yeah, it's just really beautiful to see her in that midwife setting, her and her mom. But then, as said, like, she yearned for more. She wanted to go to the city. So what eventually ends up happening is that, like, her friend in the village meets a boy, and the boy's who's going to be able to take them to the city. So I guess another thing I really appreciated was that, like, it wasn't a love story. They didn't hang up on the, like, technically was due to a boy that they were able to get to the city, but they showed his face maybe twice. Like, they got on his motorcycle, they got off his motorcycle, he was gone. Like, then they were just, like, ladies in the city doing their thing. It was honestly emotional. It was beautiful. Yeah, I really liked it. I was so happy to see it.
Well, thank you for the synopsis, Mickey. It sounds gorgeous. Is there any last things you want to say about the movie? Anything you particularly liked or could be improved upon?
One other thing is that it was kind of like, so, like, the mom and the daughter are both midwives, and it's like a very traditional, like, I guess, setting that they're doing it in. Like, they're doing it with their traditional songs. They're not using, like, medications, like, in the Western medicine sense, but I guess almost like a parallel plot that was happening at the same time was that, like, people from the urban center were trying to infiltrate this village and, like, tell them that, like, their medicine doesn't work and that they need to abandon it and transform to these new medical systems. And so it was, I don't know, it's just like another thing that they were, like, fighting for and, like, persisting in their old ways. So that was cool to see also.
Wow, yeah, sounds incredible. Thank you so much for calling in and telling us about it. I'm jealous I didn't get to see it now, but I think you did it justice. Shout out, yes. Mickey and your mom. Say hey to Mommy Mickey for us.
And, yes, we'll do.
Okay, bye, Mickey. We're going to let you go now real quick.
Thank you. Bye,
Mickey.
Bye, Mickey.
Bye, Mickey.
Love.
All right, and that was our caller, Mickey, calling in about seeing what she saw at Viv. And I think now we're going to pass it over to our member, John. John, do you want to let us know what you saw at Viv?
I saw A Welcome Distraction on Saturday, October 11th. It was at International Village. A Welcome Distraction is directed by Brian Daniel Johnson. The reason I went... Sorry. The reason I went to see it is because it is set in Vancouver, and I wanted so badly to see Vancouver play itself for once in my life. Pretty much.
Oh, John, you kill us.
Okay. That wasn't even that funny. Okay. Basically, the plot synopsis off the top of my head is a guy, Ernest, the protagonist, recently went through both a breakup and a family tragedy. And he's trying to distract himself. So he goes to his drug dealer, and the drug dealer is like, no, you're self-medicating. I can't let you have this. So he goes hiking to take his and his ex's initials off a tree, but also meets this girl who ends up bringing him to a party. Turns out he's being indoctrinated into a cult. And basically the movie follows him as he gets indoctrinated into the cult and all the stuff that ensues from that.
What a shocking twist.
Did you enjoy seeing Vancouver as itself?
Was
it worthwhile?
Very much. And here's where I go into more of my opinion on it. The editing, you know, it wasn't like a ton of cuts like you normally see in the usual Hollywood movie. So we could actually see stuff. This sounds weird.
You're just watching life play out in the background of this film.
Yeah. And it's fun to see, you know, naming specific locations or seeing something on the screen. And it's like, oh, I've been there.
Are there any mentionable places you want to shout out that made it into the film?
50 West 12th Avenue is where one of the things takes place. And also the stairway into Queen Elizabeth Park on 33rd.
Wow, you've got it down to the, like, latitude, longitude, like, location.
Well, you'll never believe what my major is. Anyways. Also, the cinematography was pretty simple. If you've seen the movie Invention, I can't remember the name of the director off the top of my head. It's similar to that. I feel it was actually a good representation of Vancouver, where it showed a lot of the good things and made fun of the city in some ways. There was a restaurant scene, and it's this pretentious restaurant, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's plenty of these in Vancouver. It's making fun of that. But it also tried to deal with some of the bad things. Namely, there's a scene where someone has an overdose, and if you're acquainted with the drug crisis in Vancouver, would I say it deals with it fully? No. Can I say it deals with it well? I'm not an expert. I'm not qualified to make that judgment.
But it didn't leave a bad taste in your mouth as a viewer?
No. And I appreciate that it tried to show the underbelly of this city that no other Hollywood movie would bother to show. And it doesn't feel like the Hollywood rendition of Vancouver that you always get. So there's that. Also, the acting was amazing. I would particularly like to call out Adriana Marchand, who played Roman, a.k.a. the cult leader, killed it. Really made the character click, especially in the end. I can't say anything more than that to avoid spoilers.
Well, I feel like if you're going to have a cult leader in your film, you're going to want that to be the punchiest acting you have.
Yeah. Yeah, and that pretty much sums it up. It was the punchiest acting, and she showed a lot of range in that character, where it starts off as the, oh, we're just listening to sounds of the earth. And then the mask slips and slips and slips is the idea.
Wow, it sounds like there was a lot of great progression in that film. I'm so glad that you enjoyed it, and you had so much to take away, both with the acting and also seeing Vancouver.
Yes. I should also shout out my favorite Letterboxd review of the movie. How did he not know he was being indoctrinated into a cult? Nobody in Vancouver is that friendly.
Oh, man. Even the Letterboxd is picking up on the Vancouver lore.
Yep.
All right. I think we're going to go into a little bit of a musical break now. So this song I want to play for us, it's by Wildfire. It's actually from 1984. It's called USSR, but this was actually in the film that I saw at VIFF, which, shout out once again, was F Toys by Annapurna Sriram. So now we're going to kick it off with that. Thank you.
We gonna fly up in the sky. I'm gonna take you away. You're gonna love what you're gonna hear. Things that I'm gonna say. I'm gonna take you to Hollywood. Then I'll take you to Rome. I'll even take you to the USSR if you bring your lovely buddy back home. Even take you to the USSR. Bring your lovely body home. Ooh. I'll even take you to the USSR. If you bring your lovely body back home. Ooh. Ooh. USSR. Girl, you can be like a superstar on a silver screen. You're gonna love where you're gonna go. I take you where you've never been. Ain't nothing bad about Trinidad in the Caribbean. We're gonna go for the Mardi Gras, a pretty thing you've never seen. And then I'll take you to Africa. I'll never leave you alone. I'll even take you to the USSR if you bring your lovely body back home. I'll even take you to the USSR. Bring your lovely body home. I'll even take you to the USSR. If you bring your lovely body back home. We're gonna fly up in the sky. I'm gonna take you away. You're gonna love what you're gonna hear. Things that I'm gonna say. I'm gonna take you to Hollywood. Then I'll take you to Rome. I'll even take you to the USSR if you bring your lovely body back home. I'll even take you to the USSR, bring your lovely body home. I'll even take you to the USSR if you bring your lovely body back home.
All right, welcome back. That was just Wildfire, USSR, released in 1984. And fun fact, this is from Trinidad and Tobago. And I pulled this song from the VIFF film that I saw, F Toys, directed by Annapurna Sriram. Yeah, and so just kind of closing out today, welcome back. We're on 101.9 CITR FM, if you didn't know. And right now we're in the middle of Art Beat, previously Arts Report. In our episode today, we were focusing on the different films that we saw at VIFF, and we had some great discussion about, you know, ethical ways we can use AI in filmmaking, as long with...
Well, I just wanted to hop in here and say that we got a couple of awesome events coming up, too, with CITR. Last week, we had our Speakeasy, which is kind of a yearly jazz event that we do, and it was super lit and awesome, as always. And then coming up soon on the 23rd, we have Gay Halloween, guys. Who's excited? I'm excited. Woo! I know I'm excited. So be there or be freaking square, because it's going to get pretty crazy. I've heard some... costume rumors already, and it's pretty niche, pretty elite stuff. So, you know, take a good think before you come underdressed.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things about Art Beat here is that we don't just highlight, you know, local art and culture in Vancouver. We make our own. So be sure to check out the different CITR events. And is there any events coming up for Discorder?
We do. It's not super announced yet, but I mean, the date
breaking
is that
news.
Breaking news. Yeah, there is going to be an event for Discorder. It's a collaboration with BVP at Kerner's Pub, and it's going to be on November 6th at 6:30 p.m. And it's kind of like a... IRL version of the magazine, or so you can see the artists that you read all about in Discorder in real life for free at Kerner's Pub, and it's going to be awesome.
Live, woo!
Yeah. Do you have more to come on that?
Do you have a name for this event?
We do have a name for this event. The name for the event is Extra Extra, because Extra Extra read all about it, so you can in Discorder.
All right.
Yeah.
Serena has a song to close us out today.
Yeah, well, I don't have a real excuse to play this song other than it's, like, so awesome, and I love it so hard, and it's so good, and I want to hear it on the big speakers in the studio because it's just literally so good, and it's very, like, you know, October 15th, 2025 vibes to me. So, yeah, we're going to say goodbye, and then I'm going to reveal the name of the song, and then that'll be all for today, folks. So, goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye from the Arty. Goodbye.
Have a good dinner if you're on your way home to make dinner. And if you are on your way home to make dinner, you get to listen to Going Against Your Mind by Built to Spill.
Show, wanna show, wanna
okay,
show.
Then. Speak up.
ينبعة الريحان حني على الولهان حني
على. It's great. It's too much for a cultural backwater like Vancouver. It just bursts with violence. It's got every absurdity and nihilism of the world.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver. Every absurdity and nihilism of the world since 1937.
It'll play off-Broadway. I can see it now.
Trust me, I try, bust my arm. Trust me, I don't do it just to touch some cash. I've been going through it, but it's gonna pass. If I'm gonna last, what I gotta do to run it back? Ran 100-yard dash, no matter how fast I'm running.